Good morning, Ram Nation. We're back with another edition of the DNVR Rams Podcast, special live edition. I'm Justin Michael. I am your host, as always. We're talking about a crucial home win over Wyoming for CSU. They pull it out 70-62. It was a great day in Moby Arena. Awesome crowd, 8,000 plus. It was awesome to see all the green. I know the Rams don't wear green at home very much, but I thought it was a cool setting. I probably would have preferred that they wore the throwbacks just because I think that's their best uniform that they have for Isaiah Stevens' final home game. But I understand the tradition. I thought it was a really cool day. It's always fun to celebrate the players and see their family. This year was particularly cool just because this group is so unique. They're such a pleasure to cover and just in terms of the day-to-day interactions and stuff. And to see Patrick Cartier's dad out there holding a sign with the 12, you know, grinning ear to ear, or the entire Palmer family rocking headbands. It was just a really cool moment. They honored Josiah Strong, Joe Palmer, Jill Scott, Patrick Cartier, and of course, Isaiah Stevens. All things that I'm hearing as of right now, sounds like Neat Clifford is expected to be back, which is great. I imagine he'll go through the NBA evaluation process this spring. There's no harm in doing so, kind of figure out what he should work on his next year. Obviously, if there's a coaching change or anything like that, it could be a little bit of a different situation, but that's certainly encouraging. Wanted to bring that up before I forgot. I thought this was a typical CSU-Wyoming game. We'll get into all of it in terms of just breaking down the action, what this means in the Mountain West picture, what CSU's NCAA tournament resume looks like right now. As we talked about going really back to last week, there's a lot of pressure on CSU. These are games that you really cannot afford to drop. And I thought the Rams, you know, with kind of their backs against the wall, all the pressures on CSU, none of the pressures on Wyoming, I thought they played really hard. I mean, really, I would credit the effort of both sides. There are very rarely non-competitive games in this series. This Wyoming squad in general plays with a lot of heart. They didn't hit enough threes this time, which is really the big difference. Also, they didn't have the same massive advantage at the free throw line that they had in Laramie, but they never went away. The Rams in the second half, they're able to get up by like 11 or 12, you know, a couple minutes in. It's looking like maybe they're going to extend the lead, kind of run away with it. Wyoming refused to let it happen, and I'm not surprised at all. They're a team that I think could be a tricky out for anybody in the Mountain West tournament, and we'll kind of get into all that as far as where CSU's at, what this next week will look like, who we would rather see as far as the matchups go with the Rams. As Aaron says, I really don't want to play Wyoming in the Mountain West tournament. I don't want to play anybody for a third time. Again, we'll kind of get into that later on at the end of the podcast, but it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of fluctuations still possible with the Mountain West standings. It feels fitting that it's really going to come down to probably the final Saturday in the league before we have a definitive, you know, idea of what this is all going to look like. I'm going to break down all of the takeaways from this as far as what the Rams did well, where we'd like to see them improve, all of that, you know, still not hitting jumpers at the rate you would like to see. But I thought that the offensive execution, especially in the second half, was huge. My main takeaway, and this is very common, I think, from anybody that's followed this program from the last 5 years. I know Kevin wrote a column. I know that Sean Keeler from the Denver Post wrote a piece on it. I'll write something on it, I'm sure, today. They've got to retire number four. If it's not hanging in the rafters come November, we're making a big mistake. I just, if not him, then who? That's really what it comes down to for me. Nico Medved was very honest post-game that, you know, it should absolutely be retired. He's like, I don't have that power. But if you're not going to put four in the rafters, what are you going to put up there? I mean, when you just think about his legacy, he is without a doubt the greatest player in program history. And I'm probably just going to do an entire other podcast on the legacy of Isaiah Stevens, so I guess I don't want to spoil all of it, but I mean, you just look at what he's meant to this program over the last half decade. You know, him and Roddy and all those guys, they come in year two of the Medved era. Year one had its moments, but it was largely you know, a struggle because the roster situation was rough after that last year of the Eustace era. You lose Prentice Nixon and a couple of guys to the portal. You know, you're trying to kind of piece it together with Carvacho and Chris Martin and a couple of key veterans alongside, you know, these freshmen and Kendall Moore and Adam Thistlewood. And then in year two, you know, you have this class that comes in that really transformed the program. And Roddy was definitely a big part of that as well. Obviously, him being the Mountain West Player of the Year, a first-round draft pick, that was huge for what it meant for CSU just in terms of recognizability. You know, it was great to have all that. But Isaiah now being here for another 2 years after that, and especially just this last year coming back, it would have been so easy for him to hop in the portal. I mean, he had been loyal to this point. You know, nobody would have blamed him if he decided to graduate and frankly chase a check somewhere. We saw a lot of great college basketball players do that. You know, Max Azmus is a great example of it. Was a star at Oral Roberts, took them to the tournament twice, I believe, was a part of their big upset over Ohio State, and they had a couple upsets a couple years back. But anyways, you know, he chases a check, ends up in the Big 12. We see it all the time. Steven Ashworth, he leaves Utah State for Creighton. Nobody around the country would have been surprised if Isaiah Stevens wanted to, you know, test the high major waters just because he is clearly good enough to play at that level. But he stayed loyal, and we've been able to have this really fun season. And I know that at the end here, it's been a bit of a struggle. And certainly I think that this week off is much needed for this team. You've got a couple of guys playing hobbled. It's funny. I asked the players that, you know, as competitors, would you rather try and keep this momentum rolling now that you're back on the right side of things? You know, you lose three straight. Now you get things back on track with the win. Would you rather try and keep that rolling? Or given the fact that I think you played 13 games without a bye, you've had a really challenging 7 week stretch, is it kind of nice to have a week off and get a chance to reset? I think the players are always a little bit hesitant to say we need some time off or we need a break, because I don't know. I think they think that they're supposed to say, you know, we're competitors, you know, we're always on. And to an extent that's true, but it was funny to me because they basically brushed it off and were like, you know, we always want to compete. And then the first thing Medved did after he started his intro statement was he starts talking about what all this means. But then he just comes back to my question about, you know, no, they definitely need a week off after everything that this team has been through. It's been a gauntlet. And I really think the league is going to get six teams in the Mountain West tournament. If you would have put a knife to my back 8 weeks ago, I probably would have said that it just some way or another, it falls apart. And I guess technically speaking, we still do have a couple of teams here that could end up on the wrong side of the bubble when it's all said and done. There's still pressure on CSU to close the season strong, and we'll get into all that. But this season has been a blast. It really has. You've been ranked for multiple months. You earn the highest ranked win in school history. You get a win over the Buffs on your home floor. Multiple sellouts, multiple significant victories over teams that were at one point ranked or, you know, are at least in the Mountain West championship mix with Utah State, Boise State, San Diego State. These type of seasons, if you can't appreciate these ones, man, I'm just telling you, like, there, it really doesn't get a whole lot better than this. Now, obviously, you could win a conference championship. You could have been a little bit more consistent. There's certainly levels that you could still reach, but I just mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, especially for a mid-major program, if you're not appreciating years where it's 20 plus wins, you've got 5Q1 wins. I think there's only 13 teams in the country that have more than 5Q1 wins. Like, what the Rams have done is so significant. And Isaiah Stevens has been the leader through it all. I mean, going back these last couple of years, this is really kind of the culmination of the last couple seasons, you know, and what you've been trying to build towards. And he's just such a special guy on and off the court. I really don't know if there will ever be a player that can even touch his legacy. I mean, there might be a guy that comes through that has more talent on paper. If you somehow sign a lottery pick or something like that, yeah, I get it. You can make the argument that, you know, if you're talking just pure talent or the pure ability to dominate somebody one-on-one, like a Jason Smith, a David Roddy, or, you know, Bill Green, you want to go back even further, somebody like that. But when you factor in everything into the equation, and he's a pretty damn good basketball player himself, regardless of everything else that he means to this school, to this community, beyond his basketball achievements, if not for, then who? Then who are you going to honor? And I cannot believe it's been 5 years now. It makes me feel really old. I mean, I remember writing about Isaiah and David back when they were still high school prospects. And now, you know, 147 games in a Rams uniform later, 2,267 points, 833 assists, 501 rebounds, is the all-time leading scorer, all-time leader in assists, three-pointers. He's going to go down as not only one of the greatest players and you know, he's going to go down not only as the greatest player in CSU history, but he's going to go down as, in my opinion, one of the five best Mountain West players of all time. And I think when you factor in all of his accomplishments, especially if he could have some postseason success here, he could have an argument for like the greatest resume of all time. I mean, it's just what he has done is, it's not normal. And I hope that Ram fans recognize that. I think they do. It was a really cool scene in Fort Collins. I'm so glad that CSU honored Isaiah before the game and after the game. Seeing the thank you for signs was really cool. Seeing Isaiah acknowledge the crowd was awesome. It was just, it was fitting, you know? It was a fitting way for him to go out. He didn't have a massive game or anything like that. He had some really key buckets down the stretch in that second half, especially as Wyoming was kind of hanging around there. But, you know, 12 points, 2 assists, that's not like a killer day for him by any means. But it was just a really encouraging day because you got big performances from the whole team. And that's what I'm about to get into. Real quick, I do want to shout out our friends over at Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew has a beer for any occasion. There's no better way to watch a game than having an ice cold Breck Brew in hand. They've been doing it for 34 years. It all comes down to their love and passion for making good beer. Made with 100% renewable energy. You've got to love that. Try out some of our favorites. I kind of go back and forth depending on the mood, but I'm a big sour guy, so I love the Mountain Beach Sour. You can never go wrong with the Avalanche Amber Ale. That's actually the beer of the month. Avs, you know, getting into the playoff stretch. The Nuggets, they're getting hot. Get over to Ball Arena. Have yourself an ice-cold Breck Brew. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. I also want to talk to you guys about Fubo TV. With the NCAA tournament coming up, with, you know, the NBA playoffs, NHL, now is the time you want to make sure that you have access to all of the sports action. With Fubo, you get 140 plus live channels. You get sports, you get movies, you get shows. I was able to watch Waco on there, which was kind of cool. You can stream from any device. Watch the most Colorado sports for the lowest price. No contract, no cable, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. It's, like I said, you know, the best way to watch the NBA, the NHL, all of it. Watch all your favorite college basketball, NBA action with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR. Sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. All right, I appreciate everybody hitting up the comment section. Always make these Sunday live shows a lot of fun. Yeah, I am getting old, Aaron, reminiscing about the old days. I'm officially in that territory where I start talking about the good old days. And, you know, back when I was watching CSU and Wyoming battle as a student, it was Josh Adams and Larry Nance Jr. going against Gian Clavel. But it really was a long time ago. Let's get into the takeaways. Let's get back on track. I thought both teams played really hard defensively in this one. That's not surprising at all. I think Jeff Linder is a really good coach. I think there's a lot of intriguing young talent on that roster. You know, I love Maniao. I love Acott and some of those guys. They've brought in some key veterans, you know, like Sam Griffin, to kind of help them ease this transition process. Wyoming really went in on high major transfers a year ago, specifically some Pac-12 guys, where it didn't work out. I think there was culture shock. I don't think they responded well to Linder's tough coaching, and it just really did not work all together. It was a tough rebuild situation, but I'm not surprised at all that this team has been frisky all year. I know that the spread was like 15.5 points. That was insane. I wouldn't have touched that with a 10-foot pole. And I would have said the same thing even if the Rams had been rolling. That's just because, like I said earlier, this is a rivalry game. These two teams are always up for each other. It doesn't matter if one team's a championship contender and the other one's in the, you know, dweller of the I think I said that wrong. If they're dwelling in the basement, whatever, you know, it's always going to be a good game, you know, and credit to Wyoming for not allowing this one to get out of hand. I felt like, especially in that second half with the way that CSU kind of got the offense rolling, neither team in the first half, I mean, was killing it offensively. Let me pull up the numbers here. It was 33-27. The Rams led at the break, but CSU, they shot 38% from the field. What was huge was they held Wyoming to 30% from the floor, only 22% from deep in that first half. The defensive effort is, like I've said now for a couple of weeks now, the biggest reason that this team has remained competitive, why they've been all in all of these games, despite the fact that offensively it's a little bit up and down at times. And, you know, in that second half, Wyoming did get it going a little bit better, but the Rams did a good job of contesting shots. They've now given up like 5 4-point plays this season. Fortunately, Wyoming didn't convert the free throw, but it has been frustrating to see some of those defensive lapses. Anyways, as a whole, the defensive effort I thought was really good. And then offensively in the second half, you're really able to establish your presence down low. CSU had 24 points in the paint over those final 20 minutes. 15 of those points came from Joel Scott. He was huge. He tied his season high with 20 points. He also had that on the road against Greeley. Love to see a Colorado kid stepping up in a couple of big-time front-range matchups. Looks like Taylor says in the comments section, Joel Scott and family sat next to them at Mojo's after the game. He basked in his aura. I'm sure you could have said hi because Joel is such a cool dude. I will say it is nice to give the players those moments with their family, especially on senior day, you know, to allow them to just kind of have that moment together. But he's a really cool dude. And that's what makes this team so fun to root for, is obviously there's a lot of talent on this team. You wouldn't be in the position that you're in. You wouldn't have been ranked for multiple months, had the type of season CSU had, if these guys couldn't just straight up ball. But what makes them, and obviously I'm fortunate getting to know them on a little bit more personal level, what makes them so easy to root for is just they're the same guys with you, whether they win or whether they lose on a half-court buzzer beater that banks in. You know, we talked to Joel and Isaiah after that game. We talked to Joel and Isaiah after Wyoming. Now, were they in a better mood after the win over Wyoming? Without a doubt. But they're so level-headed. And it's why I haven't lost faith in this team. Yes, there have been some frustrating moments. I still would contend that they only actually have one bad loss this season. When you look at their losses in Mountain West play, there have been some frustrating ways that the way that they have played out. New Mexico, Nevada, I mean, even San Diego State on the road. Yeah, there have been some moments that have made you want to pull your hair out. But you go to the non-conference resume, losing to St. Mary's, they look like a legitimate, you know, Final Four potential type team. So it's just been the consistency with which they have played so composed, and the fight that they have continued to bring on the defensive side. You know, I really just think that it's a testament to these guys, and I really hope to see them have their postseason success, but we shall see. A lot's still coming up. Another big factor in this game, in my opinion, I thought that Neat Clifford and Patrick Cartier had the type of performance that we'd really been missing. Now, I want to make it clear, those guys are always going to do the dirty work. Neek is always going to be one of, if not the best on-ball defender CSU has. I think it's him or Josiah Strong. He's CSU's best rebounder by far. He had a double-double in this one with 11 boards, 10 points. His aggressiveness, especially on the glass, he had a couple of putbacks. He had a transition dunk. He just had a couple of really loud moments in this game that were highly impactful, and his ability to just, you know, go up and make some of those athletic, I don't even know how to say what I'm saying right now. His athleticism is just absurd. It gets me tongue-tied. That's how impressed I am with him. It was great to see him have, you know, a productive game offensively, though. Patrick Cartier, he had 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He was awesome out there rocking the Rip Hamilton face mask. You know, he's awesome. We've got somebody in the comment section here, Lamar1107. He'd like some thoughts on the upcoming football season. We actually just did an entire podcast on that on Thursday. You can go back and check that out. We go live every Thursday and every Sunday morning here at 9:30. I also have audio-only podcasts that you can check out. Those are available Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you are in, you know, wherever you're looking for content, it is out there. Aaron Harris says, why does hockey have enforcers and basketball doesn't? The consequences tech and basketball are so much less. I wouldn't mind seeing someone give Lucas a hard foul if we play Nevada in the tourney. I don't hate the idea. I do think there is maybe a little bit of that from time to time. There's a key scene, a really cool scene from the Redeem team, the documentary about the 08 Olympic squad. And Kobe, when they're playing Spain, he knew the play that they were going to run. And he knew that Pau Gasol was going to be the final screen. And Kobe just ran straight through his chest. Now, you take the foul in that instance, but you're setting the tone. And, you know, going up against a scorer like Lucas, if he went to the hoop or something, you don't want to do anything dirty. He's a great player. But, you know, you want to add a little bit of extra oomph on that. I'm okay with that. I mean, it's going to be... it's going to be intense in Vegas. The Mountain West tournament is going to be like something we have never seen before. I'm just excited to sit back and watch it all play out, to be honest with you at this point. Getting back to the takeaways, the Rams had 24 points in the paint in that second half, really did a nice job of creating quality looks. Look, you're still not hitting these open jump shots. Isaiah had 4 or 5 that I thought were good. You know, Neek and Cartier had a couple that I thought were good. I think the shot selection is really good. I think the ball movement has been good. I think the cutting has been good. You had 19 second chance points in this one. So great effort on the offensive glass. And I know that was a point of emphasis by the staff. So great job by them to highlight that and then have the guys execute it. They would finish +7 on the glass over the final 20 minutes. I thought that was huge. It's 19 second chance points. That's probably the most they've had in any game this season. And when you also finish +8 in transition, you defend well, you don't get into foul trouble the way that you did, you don't get killed from deep the way that you can against a team like Wyoming. They're one of the better three-point shooting teams in the conference. It's a recipe for success, and it's why, despite the fact that it hasn't always looked the prettiest, I still have a lot of faith that this team could be pretty dangerous in the postseason, because if you defend the way that you are right now, you're 30th in adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom, you're always going to have a chance. And when you have a high-level point guard that can create consistently, either for himself or others, you're going to have a chance. Now, why these open jump shots aren't falling, I don't know. There are times, especially when they're wide open, you can kind of see it looks like guys are aiming it a little bit. And I'm sure, you know, it gets in your head when you have these multiple stretches of games here where you're not knocking them down. But, you know, if they can just even be slightly more consistent with the way that they're working the paint. And I mean, Joel Scott pretty much did whatever he wanted in that second half. Bemba had some key scores down low. Cartier, like I said, he had a great game as well. I mean, this team really could be lethal. Right now, you're really good. You could be great if you start making some of these shots more frequently while continuing to defend at this same rate. We shall see. At this point, you know, I'm just going to kind of let it play out, because the offense did that early on in November and December. They were so much better, I think, than I expected. Now, I didn't expect them to dip off like this. I expected some variance. You know, you expect it to come back to the mean, but we'll see. We'll see. The one thing that's encouraging is that they're able to get to the paint when you're not missing layups, you know, when you're able to get to the line consistently, knock down your free throws, you have that post presence, you're going to be able to hang around. The big difference here in like CSU winning this game by, you know, 15-20 or winning it the way that they did is just the missed jumpers. So certainly would like to see some more consistency there. Taylor in the comment section asked, Tavy and Kyan go combined 2 of 2 from 3. Rest of the team was like 3 of 17. if those fall at a normal clip, this team can win the Mountain West tournament. I agree. I mean, winning four games in 4 days is going to be really challenging. That really drastically impacted CSU's likelihood of running it all. I mean, it could happen. It certainly could happen, but it's tough enough to do 3 in 3 days. I think asking for 4 in 4 days is a tall task. I do think you still need to win at least one game. I'd like to see them be playing on Friday, to be honest, just to kind of get rid of any potential nervousness, you know, we could collectively have on Selection Sunday. Right now, I still think you feel pretty good, but you're still going to have to win a couple of games here against teams that, frankly, you know, all of the pressure is going to be on you. You know, they would love to play spoilers and they're going to be frisky, and you got to execute like you did in this one. We'll see, man. Just the offense, I don't understand why some of these jumpers are not falling, because like I said, I really do think they're good looks. Maybe Kyan and Tavy can get a couple more looks in the Mountain West tournament. I will say, if you are going to win 4 games in 4 days, you might have to go a little bit deeper in your rotation than you would. Now, we haven't seen a ton of movement in terms of the rotation of late. You know, the guys that play have kind of been the guys that play. Like, we don't see a ton of Javonte Johnson or Tavy. Tavy, I think he's like 5 of 8 from deep this year. He doesn't take a lot of them, but when he shoots them confidently. Kyan as well. Like, when he actually puts it up, he shoots it with confidence. He's got a really good looking jump shot. Maybe some of these guys, you know, could kind of help you here down the stretch. That's a tough balance, because if you're playing them more, that means you're playing somebody else less. But again, especially like in the Mountain West tournament format, it'd be nice, you know, if you could roll day one and day two. And that's a big if at this point, because we haven't seen the Rams roll anybody in a long time. You know, if you could get a game or two where Isaiah and Neek and Joel Scott and some of these guys don't have to play 34 plus minutes, you know, if they could play, have a game where they play like 25 minutes and you could get them some rest and you could get some extra minutes for guys like Javonte and Tavy and whatnot, that could potentially be beneficial. But I would just like to see more Tavy regardless. We do kind of see Kyan in that backup point guard role. Tavy, more of a two guard. Traditionally, I do think he could run, you know, the offense at times if needed, but, you know, not the smoothest ball handler, at least compared to Isaiah and Kyan. You'd rather have those guys running the show. But I mean, he can get to the hoop offensively. You know, I think he's got a little bit more versatility due to his size. He's shown some nice stuff with his game this year. I think he's a really good on-ball defender when he comes in. I think he just comes in and plays hard. Like, I'd like to see a little bit more of him. Now, that might mean that you're playing Joe Palmer a few minutes less. And he's a guy who I love what he brings to the table. You love the spark that he provides. You know, he's going to dive for loose balls. He's going to try and tee up. He's going to go for, you know, those offensive boards when they're there. At the same time, you know, he's really struggled offensively over the last month. Feels like he hasn't hit a three in about that time. You know, I'm not advocating to just remove him from the rotation or, you know, completely take him out of the picture, because I really think that he does a lot of the little things well for this team that, you know, make the difference in a big way, especially in a win. But I would like to see a little bit more Tavy. I guess that's all I'm saying. I think he's really solid. And honestly, you know, he's one of those guys who, much like a Kyle Evans, I would argue the same thing, kind of got burned by there being so many veterans that came back this year. It was better for CSU, but if you're a guy like Tavy Jackson, especially after your freshman year and you're seeing the floor, you're not expecting to then, you know, basically not play your sophomore year. He's had to battle some injuries as well, and I do think that's been a factor in why it's kind of taken so long for him to see the floor. But he's a guy I would like to see more of. Aaron in the comment section says, speaking of enforcers, Joe Palmer has the makings of a great enforcer. You know, I would not disagree with you. I mean, Bemba as well, although he kind of does it naturally. I don't think that's his intent. He just comes out and roughs some guys up a little bit with the way that he plays naturally. But I like the toughness that CSU had in this game, just on the concept of enforcers and playing with an edge or mentality. this was a really tough spot given the last three games, given what happened against Wyoming and Laramie. That's always going to be lingering in the back of your minds. This could have been a situation, especially in that second half after kind of going up by double digits and letting Wyoming get back into it. You know, I think a lesser composed team really would have crumbled. I know to an extent the cynics are probably rolling their eyes because you're basically just crediting them for executing the way that you would expect your double digit favorites in this game. You without a doubt should win this game, especially with NCAA tournament aspirations. But I like the fight that they're playing with, and I love the attention to detail defensively. I love the fact that they're winning on the glass because that shows how locked in you are. And a team that started a season as hot as they did and then went through this stretch, it could be really easy to let it compound and let it fizzle out. And yes, they've had some really gut-wrenching moments, but I kind of have a feeling that they're going to come out of it here and find their groove again. Now, maybe that's just me talking myself into it because I have so much respect for these players. I like these players. I like this coaching staff. But I do think there is something to be said about being battle-tested. And you still got to execute here at the end, or this is all going to be a mute point. But with the way that they're defending right now, with what they're doing on the glass, I like this team's potential, especially if they can just hit jump shots at like a 10 to 15% better rate. I'm not trying to act like all of a sudden they're going to do what you're seeing like Kentucky and some of these teams do and start scoring like 120 points consecutively. I don't think that's going to happen. This isn't a team that needs to score 100 points. They don't even need to score 85. I think they're still 16-1 when they score 75 points. With how they're defending, they've yet to allow a team in league play score 80 on them. You know, 75 is kind of that magic number for CSU. And if they can just find a little bit more consistency on the offensive end, I think with what the defense is doing right now, it really would not shock me to see the Rams, you know, pull out some decisive wins in the postseason. Now, we'll have to see how all this plays out. I'm about to get into that. I'm going to talk about what CSU's kind of NCAA tournament resume looks like right now, what the big picture looks like in the Mountain West. Real quick, do want to shout out the homies over at Circle K. Now is a great time to join the Inner Circle. It's a free membership. It's easy to download. All you got to do is enter your email and phone number and you're fully enrolled. When you sign up for the Inner Circle, your first five fill-ups, you're going to get 25 cents off per gallon. You're losing money if you're not in the Inner Circle. Your first five Polar Pops are free. So not only that, you can go and save money. You can get yourself a nice little sweet treat. And after that, you're going to get rewards. So every sixth item will be free on things like dispensed beverages, donuts, pizza, all that fun stuff. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K when you text DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. All you got to do is sign up with the QR code or visit www.CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. I also want to talk to you guys about Empire Today. Nobody kills it when it comes to flooring like Empire Today. You get the convenient shop-at-home process. You can look at your needs and everything that you are going to have to do in this process without even leaving your living room. You know, it's kind of hard when you go to a big box store and you're trying to think to yourself, you know, what is this going to look like? You know, is this flooring going to look good with my furniture? What's great about Empire Today, they have a virtual floor designer. You just snap a picture of your room, boom, you can see how it's going to look in real time with all of your stuff. It's really cool. I like to mess around on it just for fun. What's awesome about Empire is you know that you are going to get the best possible service, the best possible products. There are copycats out there that want to try and claim, you know, that they're on par. They're going to advertise lower prices. But the only reason that they can do that is because they're selling you crap. They're selling you flooring that they would not put in their own home. Empire's philosophy is to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out in the selection is just as important as what they leave in. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can get a $350 discount when they use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions do apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details. Taylor in the comment section says, this midweek bye is coming at a perfect time. Maybe the guys can play dodgeball. It's a little windy for kickball right now. Aaron says, is there skee ball anywhere in town? I could see Bemba doing well there. Skee ball would be fun. I'm good at skee ball, by the way. I'd challenge anybody in Ram Nation to a game of skee ball for a beer. I like my chances, just saying. Before we get out of here, I wanted to talk briefly just kind of about where CSU stands in the Mountain West. And then, of course, their NCAA tournament resume. As of this morning, and it's Sunday, March 3rd, if you're listening on the audio side, CSU ranks 34th in net. They actually dropped five spots over the last couple of days. 35th in KenPom. It's a good spot. Still comfortably in the NCAA tournament field as of right now. But that's the thing, and it's the same thing we said after last week. It's not decided today, and you still have pressure on you to finish strong. You've got to win this game in Colorado Springs against Air Force on Saturday. You know, hopefully we see a lot of green in the stands, kind of turn it into Moby South. As of now, we know that CSU is going to be playing on day one of the Mountain West Tournament, so they're going to be playing that Wednesday. They're in seventh place at the moment. New Mexico is in sixth place. They have a game up of the Rams in the standings. Of course, CSU and UNM split. The Rams had a chance to earn that crucial sweep, but came up just short. The Lobos, they close with Fresno State, and then they go to Utah State, and that's where things could get really interesting. As of right now, we would be playing Air Force if the Mountain West tournament started. There's a decent chance that Air Force ends up losing out, depending on what happens with their game against Wyoming, and then, of course, against CSU. And if that's the case, and they finish 2-16 alongside San Jose State, which feels very likely at this moment, Air Force would fall to last place. They would fall to 11th because San Jose State, the two wins that they had this season, were both over Air Force. I think that's the matchup we should be rooting for as CSU supporters. Ultimately, you're going to have to beat a frisky team. It's likely going to be a team that you played multiple times this year on the first 2 days. But if you could get that matchup against San Jose State, who you only played once, or even a Fresno State, although just with the way that things are kind of moving right now, it looks like the more likely option would be San Jose State or Air Force. Obviously, you could get matched up against Wyoming again, depending on what happens there. But the tiebreaker situation is interesting, especially against a team like New Mexico, because if CSU and New Mexico were to, you know, finish tied, if it was a situation where if going to sixth place means that you're going to play Air Force, or being in seventh place means that you're playing San Jose State, I'd probably rather finish in seventh place just because of the matchup sake. I mean, it's just really hard to beat a team three times in the same season. I'll never forget back to that 2020 Mountain West tournament where the Rams were going up against a lowly Wyoming team. It was actually on Thursday. You know, Wyoming upset somebody day one, then Wyoming upsets CSU and knocks them out of the tournament after the Rams had beat them twice that year. It's just tough to beat the same team three times, especially a team like Air Force. That would make me uneasy, just because, you know, you worry about the three-point shooting. You know, Bo Becker, Petritis, they've got some guys that are capable of hurting you. Knife to my back, would probably rather play Air Force for a third time than Wyoming for a third time, just because that CSU-Wyoming dynamic, they're always going to give everything they have. Not that the Cadets won't, but it's just lesser of a rivalry. It is. I mean, it's in-state, it's conference, but like, especially on the basketball side, I don't even really consider Air Force a rival. I mean, they are just by definition, but I don't know if that makes sense. But I just, you know, they're not known for hoops typically. It's not like they have a ton of fans or anything like that. Like, I don't interact with Air Force basketball fans. I interact with a ton of Wyoming basketball fans. A lot could still happen here in this next week. I mean, Utah State, they should win the league. Like, if they win out, they're going to win. But they've got to close out against New Mexico. Where it could get wonky for CSU potentially is if Nevada were to drop some games, like the Rams would not be able to pass Nevada in the standings, obviously, because they swept CSU if they finished with the same record. But again, that wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world if you ended up in the 7 spot, but you draw San Jose State or Fresno State. I really like that as far as the day one matchup goes. I just would really like to avoid playing somebody for that third time. Aaron Harris says he had to sit next to the entire Wyoming team on the flight home in 2020. It was miserable. That was such a weird experience for anybody that was out there in 2020. It was right before the world fell apart, basically. The Mountain West was one of the few, if not the only, league that got their conference tournament all the way in because they held it a week earlier than usual. There was like some big construction conference or something out there, and they had to do it for the hotels. Anyways, it was a fun tournament. Sam Merrill hit a crazy shot for Utah State to upset San Diego State. Both of those teams, I think it's a shame that we didn't get to see them in the NCAA tournament. But I was staying at the Oyo Hotel, formerly the Hooters Hotel. It's not a great spot. Wouldn't recommend it. But I had all that paid for ahead of time, you know, assuming that CSU would at least make it to Friday, if nothing else. They lose day one. Weird stuff can happen in the Mountain West tournament. And then I'm just out in Vegas by myself for 4 straight days, staying at the Oyo, inhaling cigarette smoke and just really wanting to be home after such a disappointing result. But the reason I bring all this up is we can't count our eggs before they've hatched. Now, if they win on Saturday, especially decisively, that should, knock on wood, should seal CSU's NCAA tournament bid. If you lose probably a Q3 game, maybe Q4, depending on how it all works up, though, on day one of the Mountain West tournament, you're still going to be feeling a little bit uneasy. I would still say that at least these next two, you want to view them as must-win opportunities so that you're not sweating, you know, Selection Sunday. The Rams were the second team left out of the tournament back in, what was that, 2021 or whatever. So it can be tight, and you just don't want to be in that spot after such a fun season. And I know that, again, there are so many people right now that are going to view this season as a failure or as a disappointment. And that's just absolutely crazy to me. It's a lack of perspective. It's a lack of understanding just how good this league is. If you even get to the NCAA tournament, it is a good season. If you win a game, it's a great season. I mean, anything after that is gravy. And yes, I would love to see CSU make the same type of run that San Diego State made last year. How epic would that be? That team had a lot more NCAA tournament experience. It's a process. You've got to build towards it. You know, you've got to walk before you can run. And at this point, I just want to see the Rams continue to build on it. And, you know, frankly, I want to see these veterans go out with a little bit of postseason success, because especially for a guy like Isaiah Stevens, he just deserves it. He deserves it. Aaron says, never forget the Taco Bell Cantina. I never will, my friend. For those of you in Ram Nation that were a part of that special night, we'll always remember it. We ran into BC Johnson out in Vegas, you know, gambling. It was a hell of a trip. By the way, if you're going to be out in Vegas and you would like to say hi, I'd love that. You know, we can meet up somewhere on the strip, or you can come over to Circa and say what's up. Going to be a lot of fun out there, hoping to engage with as many CSU fans, as many Mountain West fans as possible. I really appreciate all you guys rocking with me the way that you do. Again, I will probably this afternoon, maybe not until tonight. We'll see how today goes. I'm going to record another podcast where I kind of get into this game a little more. You know, sometimes on the live shows, I don't get into every takeaway I have because I get a little tracked with the comment section or just a tangent. I mean, it happens. We all know I'm a bit of a rambler. So I'll get into that. I'll get into Isaiah Stevens' incredible legacy and really just drive home how unique he is in terms of the history of this program. And when you look at his numbers, like at a national level, or compare them to the other greats in Mountain West history, it really is something else. Shout out to my guy Yahir producing us behind the scenes. Shout out to everybody in the comment section making this show a lot of fun. This was a lot more fun than last week, where, you know, it was kind of a therapy session. Now we're feeling good. You know, still, again, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. We got a big one coming up next Saturday. Always proud to be. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoken a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days, they put a smile on.